You are listening to the life of Jesus Christ in a year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins, be drawn more completely in a spiritual communion with Christ our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God, and through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 297, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 4. Today, we will read number 18 and 19. 18. Peter celebrates the first Holy Mass in the Last Supper room. On the eighth day after Pentecost, I saw the apostles busily engaged the whole night in the house of the Last Supper, praying. At daybreak, they went with many of the disciples into the temple, to which the Blessed Virgin and the holy women had preceded them. There appeared to be a feast going on, for in front of the entrance, a triumphal arch had been erected, upon which stood a figure holding a conqueror's sword. Beneath this arch, Peter addressed a great crowd of people in powerful language. He told them openly that no punishment, neither scourging nor crucifixion, should deter them from publicly proclaiming Jesus Christ. He then entered the temple and preached from the teacher's chair that Jesus had so often occupied. Once I heard all the apostles and disciples interrupting Peter's discourse with a loud yes, as if in confirmation of his words. Afterward, when they were engaged in prayer, I saw a cloud of light hovering over the temple, and such rays streaming down upon them that the tiny flames of the lamps looked quite dim and red compared with them. Toward 8 o'clock that morning, they left the temple. In the court of the heathens, they formed in a long procession, two by two, first the apostles, after them the disciples, then the baptized and the newly converted. They proceeded across the cattle market to the sheep gate out in the valley of Josaphat, and thence up Zion to the house of the Last Supper. The Blessed Virgin and the other women had left the temple sometime previously in order to kneel alone before the Blessed Sacrament and pray. Magdalene prayed in the entrance hall, sometimes standing, sometimes kneeling, or again prostrated on the ground, her arms outstretched. The other women had retired into their cells, adjoining the church of Bethsaida. There they dwelt, two together, occupying their time in washing and preparing the baptismal garments for the neophytes, and with the arrangement of such things for distribution. When the procession reached the court of the Last Supper house, the new converts were ranged in order by the apostle outside the entrance hall. Peter and John went into the house and escorted the Blessed Virgin to the door of the entrance hall. She was clothed in robes of ceremony. She wore the long white mantle with the embroidered facing down the sides and over her veil the narrow scarf that hung down on either side and was kept in place by a wreath. Peter addressed the new converts and presented them to the Blessed Virgin as to their common mother. He led them forward in bands of about 20, one after another, and they received the benediction of the Blessed Virgin. After that, I saw solemn service celebrated in the Last Supper room, into which the side halls had entrance hall, were thrown open. In the sanctuary over the altar hung a festal wreath of green leaves and flowers. On either side of the chalice that used at the Last Supper were lighted lamps. The chalice was raised on a stand of some kind and concealed under a little white cover. There was also on the altar a smaller chalice and some bread, both covered, and behind them a plate upon which stood two vessels, one for water, the other for wine. The plate was put aside. Then the water vessel was placed at one end of the altar, the wine vessel at the other. Peter, vested in his episcopal mantle, celebrated Holy Mass. John and James the Less served him. I saw all the ceremonies performed just as Jesus had performed them at the institution of the Holy Eucharist. The offertory, the pouring of wine into the chalice, the washing of the fingers, and the consecration. Wine and water were poured at different sides of the altar, on one end of which were lying the rolls of Scripture. They were written in two columns, and by means of pegs placed higher or lower on the deck that supported them, they could be rolled or unrolled. When one leaf was read, it was thrown over the desk. There were many leaves lying one over another. After Peter had communicated, he handed his two assistants the sacrament, the bread and the chalice. Then John handed the sacrament first to the Blessed Virgin, then to the apostles and the six disciples, who afterward received priestly ordination, and to many others. The communicants were kneeling. Before them a narrow linen cloth, which two held on either side. I did not see the faithful partake of the chalice. The six disciples who now received ordination were thereby advanced to a rank above the disciples, though below that of the apostles. Mary brought the vestments for them and laid them on the altar. The disciples ordained were Zacchaeus, Nathanael, Joses, Barsabbas, Barnabas, John, Mark, and Eliud, a son of the aged Simeon. They knelt two by two before Peter, who addressed them and read prayers from a little roll. John and James held lights in one hand and laid the other on their shoulders, while Peter imposed his on their head. Peter cut some hair from their head and placed it on the altar and the little plate. Then he anointed their head and fingers from a box that John was holding. The vestments were next put on, the stole being crossed first under the arm and then in front of the breast. I saw that the ceremonies, though more solemn, were shorter than at the present day. The close of the solemnity, Peter blessed the faithful with the large chalice of the last sacrament, in which reposed the Blessed Sacrament. Mary and the other women went after that to the church of the Pool of Bethsaida. The apostles, disciples, and the neophytes went thither, also in procession with singing. Mary prayed there, kneeling before the altar and the choir. Peter gave an instruction from the pulpit in reference to the order to be observed in the new community. No one, he said, was to have more than the others. All must share what they had and provide for the poor newcomers. His discourse, moreover, embodied thanks for the Savior's graces and blessings upon the community. Baptism was next administered, and several of the apostles were engaged in it. Two laid their hands upon the neophytes, who, holding the railing of the little bridge that led to the pump, bowed their head to the stream, issuing from it. Peter, who had put on his girdle over his white garment, turned the stream three times with his hand over the head of the neophyte, pronouncing the words at the same moment. I often saw a radiant cloud dissolving over the baptized, or a ray of light falling upon them. I saw that they were marvelously strengthened, and as it were transfigured, transformed. It was most touching to see people from far off countries, leaving all that belonged to them and coming hither to form one with the community of Jesus. At the edge of the pool burned a light on a pole, just such a one as those used by the guards at the Holy Sepulchre. That evening, in the entrance hall of the house of the Last Supper, a meal was spread, during which the Blessed Virgin sat at table with the apostles, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, and Lazarus. 19. First General Communion of the New Converts. Choice of the Seven Deacons. All the baptized since Pentecost were instructed in the Bethsaida Church. upon the Most Blessed Sacrament and prepared for its reception by six of the apostles robed in long white garments. They received it at the Holy Mass celebrated by Peter in the Bethsaida Church, assisted by two of the apostles. Peter wore over his long white robe and broad girdle with its flowing ends a mantle that was taken out from the chest formed in the back of the altar. It was red and shining gold. It was like a large cape, deep in the back and pointed in front, and it fell so low over the shoulders that only the girdle could be seen at the side. It was fastened on the breast with three little shields. On the middle, one just in the front of the breast, was the representation of a figure holding a loaf in one hand. The lowest shield, that nearest the points or the ends of the mantle, bore on its cross. On either shoulder was a figure formed of precious stones. The altar was covered first with a red, and over that a white transparent cloth, on which was laid another little white linen cloth like a corporal. On an oval plate lay a little pile of white bread, sliced very thin and furrowed with lines for breaking. Beside it stood a white bowl with a foot like a low chalice or ciborium, in which, after being consecrated by Peter, the bread, broken into morsels, was placed for distribution among the faithful. Besides all this, the chalice used at the Last Supper was standing full of wine on the altar. When, during Holy Mass, Peter uttered the words of consecration over the bread and wine, I saw the bread become luminous, while above the altar, as if issuing from a cloud, appeared a resplendent hand. It accompanied the movements of Peter's hand as he blessed the bread and wine, and did not disappear till all dispersed after receiving communion. The apostles and disciples were the first to receive the Blessed Sacrament from Peter after his own communion. When the bowl or ciborium was emptied, Peter replenished it from the plate on the altar, and then proceeded with the distribution of the sacred species. The chalice was also handed by him to the apostles and to all the others. The communicants were so numerous that the church could not contain them, and many had to stand outside. The first to receive Holy Communion left the church in order to allow others to enter. The communicants did not kneel, but while receiving stood, reverently bowed. Before choosing the seven deacons, I saw the apostles gathered around Peter in the Last Supper room, where they assisted him in a solemn ceremony. They accompanied him to the Holy of Holies, where John laid upon him the mantle, another placed the mitre on his head, and another put the crozier into his hand. After all had received communion from Peter, robed in his sacred vestments and surrounded by the apostles, he addressed in the entrance hall a large crowd of disciples and new converts. He said, among other things, that it was not becoming for the word of God to be neglected, for the care of clothing and nourishment. Consequently, Lazarus, Nicodemus, and Joseph of Arimathea could not with propriety longer oversee the temporal interests of the community, as they had hitherto done, for they now had become priests. Then he added some words relative to the order observed in the distribution of alms, of household affairs, of widows and orphans. Stephen, a slender, handsome youth, stepped forward and offered himself for the services needed. Among others that did the same, I recognized Parmenas, who was one of the elder disciples. There were among them some Moors, still very young, who had not yet received the Holy Ghost. Peter laid his hand upon them, and the stole crossed under their arm. While he did so, a light was infused upon those that had not yet received the Holy Ghost. After that, the treasures and goods of the community were delivered over to the seven deacons, and for their accommodation was assigned Joseph of Arimathea's house, which was not far from that of John Mark. John Mark helped them. The money was carried on asses and consisted of bags filled with different kinds of coins. Some were like little stalks twisted into screws, others like stamped plate strung together on a little chain, and others, again, were in small oval leaves. Most of the movables consisted of large packs of different stuffs, coverlets, clothing, also numbers of vessels and various kinds of furniture suitable for plain housekeeping. On the day following the giving over of Joseph of Arimathea's house to the deacons, I saw the apostles dispersing into Judea. Peter wrought more miracles than all the others. He drove out devils, raised the dead. Yes, I even saw an angel going before him to the people and telling them that they should do penance and ask Peter for help. I saw the healing of the lame man. It was about 3 hours after noon when Peter and John went up to the temple with several of the disciples. Mary and some of the holy women went too. A lame man had been brought on a litter and laid at the door of the temple. Peter and John, on their arrival, exchanged some words with them. Then I saw Peter standing under an awning in the open square on the south side of the temple, his back turned to that part of the edifice in which was the altar of sacrifice, and addressing the people in a fiery speech during his instruction, I saw the door of egress beset by soldiers and priests conferring together. And now I saw Peter and John as they turned again toward the temple. Accosted by the lame man and petitioned for alms, he was lying outside the door, a perfect cripple leaning on the left elbow, while vainly striving to raise something with the crutch in his right hand. Peter said to him, "Look up." When the man obeyed, he continued, "I have no silver nor gold, but what I have I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk." Peter raised him by the right hand, while John grasped him under the shoulder. The man, full of joy and vigor, stood up upon his feet. And I saw him leaping about cured and running with shouts of triumph through the halls of the temple. 12 Jewish priests, who were there seated at their chairs, looked with outstretched necks in the direction of the tumult. And as the crowd around the cured man increased at every moment, they left their seats and withdrew. Peter and John went into the forecourt, and I saw the former mounting the teacher's chair from which Jesus had taught as a boy of 12. The cured man was standing before him, encompassed by a multitude of people, some from the city, others strangers from a distance. Peter preached long and in words full of inspiration. It was already dark when I saw him along with John and the cured man seized by the temple, soldiers, and thrown into a prison near the judgment hall in which he had denied the Lord. Next day, all three were taken by the soldiers, and with much ill usage, up the same flight of steps upon which Jesus had stood. And there, tried by Caiaphas and the other priests, Peter spoke with great warmth, after which they were set free. The rest of the apostles had passed the night in the house of the Last Supper, in continual prayer for the prisoners. When Peter and John returned and told them all that had taken place, their joy burst out in a loud act of thanksgiving, and the whole house shook, as if the Lord wanted to remind them thereby that he was still among them and had heard their prayer. Upon that, James the Less said that Jesus, when he appeared to him alone on the mountain in Galilee, had told him that after Peter and John, on going up the temple, would be imprisoned and then set free, they should keep themselves somewhat retired for a while. On this news, I saw the apostles shutting up everything, and Peter, with the Blessed Sacrament suspended round his neck in a bag, going with the others to Bethania. They made the journey in three bands. The Mother of God and the other women went also. While in Bethania, the apostles preached enthusiastically at the Disciples' Inn, at Simon's, and at Lazarus's. When they again returned to Jerusalem, they were more enthusiastic, more determined than ever. Peter, when teaching in the house of the Last Supper, in the church at the Pool of Bethsaida, declared that now was the time to discover who had preserved the Spirit sent by Jesus. Now was the time to labor, to suffer persecution, and to give up all things. Whoever did not feel himself strong enough for this should depart. I saw that about 100 of those that had most recently joined the community withdrew from the great crowd in the Bethsaida church. When Peter, accompanied by John and the 7 other apostles, went again to teach in the temple, he found numbers of sick lying on litters under tents in the valley of Josaphat. Many others were lying around the temple in the court of the heathens, and even up as far as the steps, I saw Peter performing most of the cures. The others did indeed effect some, but they helped Peter more than they cured. Peter cured those only that believed and were desirous of joining the community. In those places in which the sick lay in two rows opposite each other, I saw cured, Peter willing it, those upon whom his shadow fell, while he was busied with the opposite row. This concludes our reading today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. So in our reading today, we get the celebration of the Eucharist, so kind of an insight into how Peter celebrated the Mass. We also get an ordination in our reading today of the deacons and of some of these others as well. The disciples ordained were Zacchaeus, Nathanael, Joses, Barsabbas, Barnabas, John, Mark, and Eliud. So they're being ordained for the ministry, raising them kind of above being a disciple. So we have the formation and the hierarchy of the early church as it unfolds, as Anne Catherine Emmerich sees it in our reading. It says that the Blessed Virgin and the other women had left the temple sometime previously in order to kneel alone before the Blessed Sacrament. So Mary makes visits to the Blessed Sacrament. She knows that in the Eucharist, there Jesus is, and she can be close to him in the Eucharist. Also, the chalice that was used at the Last Supper had lighted lamps. It was raised on a stand of some kind and concealed under a little white cover, so holding in regard this vessel that was used by the Lord himself. And then Peter preaches to the people. And it says that his discourse, moreover, embodied thanks for the Savior's graces and blessings upon the community. He wants them to be thankful for what the Lord God is doing, for what the Lord God has gifted them. In the ministry of the early church, we read in the Acts of the Apostles that seven deacons were chosen. That was because they needed more assistance and more help to attend to everybody that they needed to. They were growing so rapidly. So we have the choice of those deacons, including Stephen, who would become one of those deacons. It says here too, on the day following the giving over of Joseph of Arimathea's house to the deacons, I saw the apostles dispersing into Judea. So Joseph of Arimathea gives his home for the sake of the early church. So when the scriptures say they held everything in common, that they let everything, you know, they gave away their possessions, Joseph of Arimathea, the one who gave his tomb for the Lord, now gives his home for the service of those who are deacons in the church. And then Peter, he's healing. It says that he would heal them and he would tell them that they should do penance, that the angel was telling them, do penance so that Peter might heal you. So just remember, penance, and this was something we saw in earlier volumes, penance is really attached to the operating work of the Lord in our lives. And then it says that Peter took the Blessed Sacrament to others. He had it suspended around his neck. And that Peter cured only those that believed and were desirous of joining the community. So to be healed, to be cured, you need to be a believer. And so if you're looking for healing, and we all are in some way, shape, or form, maintain your faith, deepen your belief in Jesus, his Eucharistic presence, in the working of the church. This brings us to the end of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications. at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. I hope that you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Please share this podcast with others. Rate and review it wherever you listen. Until next time, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.